This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you're listening to the WWE Podcast.
One that everybody wants, me.
Becky Lynch is going to WrestleMania.
Claymore!
Oh! Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
This is my iron.
You're going to acknowledge me.
Welcome to the Week in Review. It is Sunday, March 24th, 2024. I hope all of you are doing well as we are closing in on WrestleMania, which is, my God, less than 2 weeks away. A week and 6 days. WrestleMania 40 will be here, and it's just mind-boggling how quickly it comes and goes and how quickly the days go, but it's nearly upon us as WWE has a couple of shows left, a couple SmackDowns, a couple Raws, and that's it, to tie things up, get things to a boiling point, get us excited, throw maybe some surprises our way. We'll have to see how quickly they can do that, and obviously we still have the six-pack challenge that has not yet been fully fleshed out, so we'll find out who those remaining teams are in the next week or so. So if you're interested in that match, which should be an absolute car crash of a match, one that, I mean, I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. I mean it in the way that I think a lot of us are looking forward to the pure destruction of that match, the moments of that match. Hopefully no one gets injured during that match. But there's a lot of time right now being dedicated to those qualifiers and to tag team wrestling. Now this week we did get a Dominic Mysterio and possible Rey Mysterio rematch for WrestleMania. We'll see if that pans out as Rey Mysterio took on Santos Escobar. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns a little bit, although I'm not sure how much there is to really break down here, but we'll talk about that. And, of course, get ready for a Monday Night Raw that has, I think Adam Pearce announced a few singles matches, and The Rock, or rather CM Punk, is appearing in Chicago this week. The Rock is appearing in Brooklyn for the final Raw before WrestleMania, and that should be a heck of a show. I'm leaning towards probably not going to that, only because it's a lot of time to get down to the city. I hate driving down there. The traffic is abysmal, and then trying to drive 3.5 hours back north is a pain in the neck. Driving in, driving out, money, gas, time off of work. It's a lot. I mean, if this was WrestleMania, might be a different story, but I'm probably leaning towards not going. But, you know, that you know what'll kill me? I want that to be the worst show of all time. Selfishly. Because I know The Rock's going to be there. But if somebody, like if Austin comes out or something, I'm going to lose my mind. I may shut down the podcast for a while, and I may go and seek help. I may sign up for therapy for a while. Work my problems out and deal with my choices and the consequences of my choices. So I really selfishly want it to be an awful Raw before WrestleMania, but I'm sure it won't be. And, we'll have to see how it pans out. But we're not here to talk about the future, really. We're here to talk about what's already happened this week. And before we get there, we're going to give a shout out to some new patrons. Even if you're a free patron, we'll give you a shout out. This is our Marcella Tressa. Thank you for becoming a member. Ryan Dalmise. I'll just say Ryan. You just became a member of our NXT level. I appreciate it. And I think James Donovan, I already gave you a shout out, but I'll give you one again. Thank you. And Marty as well. So having some new people come on, and I want to thank all of you for joining us as we are ramping up big time for WrestleMania season. And we're in the thick of it. We're at the tail end of it. And, there is some fun to be had afterwards. And there's some fun to be had with Backlash that'll be coming our way. And then after that, it's really off to the races, looking at SummerSlam and potential matches for SummerSlam. Now, I know there's a pay-per-view, several pay-per-views in between, but, you know, that's really the next big marker you look at, right? I know there's Money in the Bank, and Damian Priest now has under 100 days to cash in, and that'll be fun to look at, too. So even post-Mania, guys, you know, it's this big buildup, and then you blink and it's over, there's still a lot of fun to be had on the back end of it. Okay. That's the one thing I think we need to be mindful of, as it's so exciting as a wrestling fan to, you know, to get into WrestleMania season, get to WrestleMania, and now it's two nights, which I absolutely love. And then you, get past Mania after the Raw after WrestleMania, and you go, oh, well, okay, now what do we do? And it feels like you're kind of lost in the wilderness, and Christmas is over, and you have that kind of depressed feeling. Well, this year might be different with all the talent, with all the great storylines going on, with pay-per-views that are exceeding expectations under the Triple H regime. I don't think they're going to show all of their hand at WrestleMania, okay? So, you know, typically where Vince, under the Vince regime, the last few years of his regime anyway, it was get to WrestleMania and then, you know, take the next night off. And the last couple of Raws after WrestleMania have not been good or memorable. And it seems like they didn't have a plan after certain teams won or lost. They just didn't do anything with them. Singles, I mean, you look at what they did with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. They didn't have a plan with them after they won the tag team titles. It didn't seem like they did anyway. And God knows for the women's tag titles, I mean, if they ever treat them like an actual championship, that's step number one. But step number two would be to have a follow-up plan for the year. And, you know, that's never really, I'm sure, a discussion point. Or if it is, it's one that is not taken seriously. So with all that to be said, I know I have a long intro here to get into the detail of this week. But I want to thank you guys for joining us here, because I know you have a lot of options. But if you want ad-free, I know you heard some ads already in the show, go to Patreon or go to Apple Podcasts. Both options are available to you, and both of them offer a free week, an entire week of our podcasts ad-free, which means you have access to our entire library, hundreds and hundreds, and no, really thousands of shows at this point, ad-free. And if you decide to stick with us after the week, I encourage you to do so, because I don't think you'll regret it with all the you know, you don't have to skip through the ads or, you know, have your listening experience, you know, interrupted. I mean, that's something anyone enjoys. But let's get into this week. Let's talk about it. So let's talk about SmackDown, which emanated from, I'll get the city correct here, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. For some reason, I thought it was Minneapolis, Milwaukee, Minneapolis, both M's. Anyway, both in the Midwest. So Cody Rhodes and Damage Control were shown entering the building. I don't know why we need to see Cody every week smiling backstage. Okay, I know I'm right off the bat hammering Cody. It's just his demeanor is just, to me, who doesn't like his babyface character, is getting more and more off-putting with his constant smiling and bumping fists with everybody. I'm surprised he didn't have his stupid dog with him. You know, and putting little handkerchiefs around his neck that are supposed to be funny or whatever. I don't need any of that. And, you know, I don't need to see him get off his bus or whatever he does or what, you know, I don't know. I will say, if he's trying to be the common man, which seems to be his attempt to draw the audience in, which, hey, it's worked. But I don't know any common men that just wear suits on a daily basis, particularly wearing suits in professional sports when you're actually in the ring on the day that you're supposed to be competing. I understand for press conferences and things you do, but I don't see any, like, for example, Yankees players sitting on the bench wearing a suit. Okay, I don't see most of us that go to work. Most of us, I would imagine, don't wear suits. But hey, he's dressing for the job he wants, not for the job he has, right? Oh God! All right, let's move on though. I'm sure I'll have more to say about him as we get into the show. However, we did then get Rey Mysterio coming out. That was a fun kind of change it up feel, was it not? I mean, Rey Mysterio, who is at the tail end of his career, although every time I say that, he pumps out five more years. It was just a nice different feel that it wasn't Roman. It wasn't Cody coming out, although he was at the beginning just being shown in the building. Fine. It wasn't The Rock. You know, it wasn't Seth. It wasn't anybody that came out except Rey Mysterio that is in a different storyline, which is a nice change. It changed things up a bit. You know, as much as I've enjoyed the build to The Rock and Roman versus Seth and Cody match and the eventual match between Roman and Cody, it's a nice feel to have another big star open the show that has nothing to do with this story. So that was nice. I don't know if it fell into their lap or they did it by design, but either way, the result is the same. And the result is that it felt a little bit fresh, even though Rey Mysterio has been with the company for like 20 years. And he faced Santos Escobar. And it was a fun match. And, you know, it was a bit of a rough start for Mysterio. And, you know, he had a little bit of a tough time. But, hey, he's a star. He's certainly gets more than a pass for something like that. And Santos ends up beating Rey Mysterio. But a 12-minute match. Here's what happened, though. If you didn't see it in person, or rather you didn't see it on your television screen or your phone or your tablet or your computer, the finish was Rey tossing Escobar back into the ring, set up for the West Coast pop, but Dominic showed up at ringside in a lucha mask and tripped him, causing Rey to crash and burn. And then Escobar landed a 619 of his own, followed by a phantom driver for the win. So, loud boos for Dom, and what he's doing on SmackDown, and why there's no security enforcing it, and all the, I mean, that's just all, of course, forgotten in all of this, that the brand split rules, which I will not forget or forgive every time they just violate them with no consequence or no one even questioning why he's here. But Dominic costing Rey a match leads to, you would think, Dom and Rey part two at WrestleMania. You would think. And hey, bring it on. I know some people are tired of this, but they took a long intermission between the last program and this one. And Dominic's out for revenge now. And Rey beat his son last year. You would imagine Dominic's going to get, you know, his this year, get some big heat on himself, beat his dad, and maybe they have a blow off, a third rubber match at SummerSlam, let's say. Or maybe next year's WrestleMania. Maybe they just go WrestleMania to WrestleMania and they do it 3 years in a row. It's possible, but I don't hate this. So after the match, Escobar and Dominic celebrated, and Escobar told Rey that they were his two biggest failures. Love it. Good stuff. Again, I we'll see what they do with this, but it could be a tag team match of sorts. I mean, it may not be one-on-one with Rey and Dom, but we'll find out. Got to be next week. Okay. We then get, let's see, Naomi and Bianca having a spirited discussion backstage about damage control. Naomi told Bianca her feelings are valid. I hate that phrase. God, I hate that phrase. It's such a 2024 soft, I mean, just kind of, I don't know. It's like this, when someone says, my feelings are valid, what is that supposed to mean exactly? They're real? They're right? What? To me, like, no, feelings are not always right. There are a lot of feelings that you could have, I have had in my life, certainly that are reactive, but they're not right. They're not right in the moment. Do you know what I mean? So feelings being valid is a term that has somehow made its way into the mainstream culture. I hate it. It's almost like you are expected to validate people's feelings, meaning just agree with them. I don't know. Am I the only one annoyed by this? I'm sure you've heard, maybe you've said it, maybe your friends have said it, maybe your family members have said it, maybe I've heard it. It's just valid means it's true. I would, you know, that's kind of a synonym for true. And no, feelings are not always true. In fact, feelings are one of the things that constantly change. So, and again, feelings can be wrong in the moment, and you look back and go, man, I was so angry about that. I wish I wasn't angry about it, or I wish I wasn't sad, or I wish I hadn't reacted that way. So feelings are actually one of the few things that aren't valid as part of the human being, a human being. So I know I'm going on this tangent, but like, I've seen this so much lately. I just had to comment on it. It's annoying as hell. Anyway, I'll leave it there. Anyway. She said, Bianca said her feelings are valid. Gag me. But she can't fix the past and still needs her help because she can't do it by herself, just like Bianca couldn't do it on her own. And, you know, it is very weird that you have one of the cover stars of 2K24, one of your biggest women's stars, who doesn't have a direction right now. I mean, sure, she got involved this week. We'll get to that. But there's no one-on-one. And look. Some of you are going to say, oh, Jade Cargill, look what she had her, she had her little promo this week that she doesn't want to be the next anyone. She, you know, all that. And it was a nice promo. But, and she signed exclusively to SmackDown. Fine. Boy, SmackDown's getting everyone, aren't they? And that's fine. But I think Bianca now interjecting herself into the damage control deal may end up being a six-woman tag team match with Jade Cargill on the side of Bianca. I don't know. I mean, I know Bayley's involved now, but Naomi is there. We could have Naomi and Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair versus Kairi Sane, Asuka, and Dakota Kai. You could have that six-woman tag team match instead of the match we thought we were going to get, which is Jade Cargill versus Bianca Belair, which sounds to me like they might not make happen only for the fact that they may not feel she's ready. I mean, she was a big deal coming in from AEW. They made this big deal about her, and she debuted at the Rumble and then went back into hiding. It was kind of just a quick hit for her, and now she's gone again and spends more time, not as much as some, like Nikita Lyons or, you know, others that spend more time trying to show off their body parts than they do actually in ring or training or telling us what their goals are as a wrestler and focusing on actually what the task at hand is, which is being a hell of a pro wrestler, getting people emotionally involved, living the gimmick, so to speak. And instead, a lot of these women, I'm sorry, they just do, unfortunately, which I don't want to see, focus more about, hey, let's see if these leggings make my ass look nice, and then I'll put it on Instagram and hope everyone, get hundreds of thousands of likes. So that's what my goal is validation from fans, especially the male audience, right? It's I can't stand it because it should be about pro wrestling, you know? And so anyway, you know, Jade has spent a lot more time posting selfies than it seems like she has in the ring. But, you know, we don't see the ring, the work she's putting behind the scenes in. We don't see that. And she may be killing herself. She may be killing herself in the ring to try to get ready. My point about all this is, besides triggering some of you, is it doesn't seem like they're ready for a one-on-one with Jade at WrestleMania yet. Now, they may do it, but it seems as if the pattern and the build for the damage control story outside of one-on-one with Bayley and Io, which is happening, is Bayley being outnumbered, then Naomi being outnumbered, now Bianca being outnumbered. Now they need that equalizer, and I think that equalizer is going to be Jade Cargill. It's going to be a very bad night for damage control at WrestleMania if that's the case. I mean, they're going to lose both matches. Any match Jade Cargill's involved in, whether it's singles or a tag team, which I think it's going to be a tag team at this point, is going to be a Jade Cargill victory. I mean, the whole point of that would be to put her over and get a victory under her belt. Maybe show some tension with Bianca as a tag team partner to tease a future matchup with those two. But ultimately, it's going to be a Jade Cargill pinning Kairi Sane or whoever. It doesn't really matter. Probably not Asuka. It's going to be one of the lower ranking officials, if you will. Dakota Kai or probably Kairi Sane, who just continues to just be invisible week after week. And it's kind of sucks for Kairi Sane because she came back. Where was it? It was in Saudi Arabia, and no one cared because it's in Saudi Arabia, and we know their treatment of women, which is horrific, and they just didn't care, and there was no reaction, which was embarrassing for her, and I felt for her, and since then, they've really given her no mic time and done nothing other than make her another body in the damage control group instead of her own identity. Now, you can fix that over several weeks, but she has just been kind of an automaton, just no personality because they haven't allowed her to. She's got a unique outfit and she's a good looking woman and she's good in the ring. But again, automaton, like you're there. You exist. There's no depth to you. And I hope they do more with her as time moves forward. And after WrestleMania, of course, the infamous, I mean, I feel like that's kind of my cure-all. It's kind of my backdrop or safety net is, well, after WrestleMania, they'll do something. Or after WrestleMania, look for this. After WrestleMania, look for that. But it's hopefully true for a lot of these talents. Because if they don't have plans for you for WrestleMania, I mean, then you're not going to be featured in any kind of capacity, any significant capacity. And you hope and cross your fingers that you not only don't get fired in the post-WrestleMania annual releases, but you also have some kind of significant storyline that they're thinking about after WrestleMania of getting you involved in. So, all right. I don't know where the hell that all came from. Let's move forward here. All right, we got the OC. Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson with Meechan versus Grayson Waller and Austin Theory in a tournament match. Again, for the Undisputed Tag Team Title Ladder Match, the six-pack challenge. Austin Theory with some new music, and that's fine. I don't have a whole lot to say about it other than just hopefully it helps him. I mean, he needs some help right now, no doubt. So this match was only 7 minutes, which, I wish it could have gone a little longer. The talent in the ring is pretty good. I mean, but it did what it needed to do, and it defeated the team that you knew was going to be defeated, and that's Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson were defeated by Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. The finish was Anderson avoiding A-Town down and landing a second rope neckbreaker for a near fall. Gallows tags in, and they set up for a magic killer, but Waller broke it up. Anderson and Waller ended up on the floor, and Theory rolled up Gallows with a leverage pin using the ropes for the victory. So after the match, we then got a vignette for Bron Breakker that labeled him as, quote, a new level of performance. Yeah, I don't like that. Okay. Only because I don't want to hear the word performance substituted for wrestler. So, or wrestling. But, I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm just kind of screaming into the wind at this point. Everyone's just accepted that wrestling and wrestler have been, you know, reduced and deodorized by today's language of performing and performance. Again, as if it's community theater. I even sometimes fall into that trap and say performance. I don't mean it. I mean wrestling and wrestler, because that's what you're doing, right? Just like sports entertainment was pro wrestling and then became sports entertainment. Other terms I'm sure you could dig up as well. But Bron Breakker seems to be coming to SmackDown, I guess. So if that's another signing for SmackDown. He was signed to SmackDown. That's right. He did sign already. That's already been official. So again, SmackDown, even though it's the shorter show, is getting the bigger talent. And, Raw, which is a three-hour show, you'd think they'd need more talent to fill. So I'm not sure what's happening here. And then, of course, when Charlotte comes back in a couple months, there you go. You know? So the women's division is going to be pretty stacked. Pretty stacked, and that's a good thing. All right. Then we then get the women's champion, Io Sky, in a non-title match. Take on Naomi, and, you know, decent match. Naomi was labeled as one of the best pure athletes in the entire company, and I would concur with that on the flexibility scale. Naomi doesn't work super quick. She does work in a bit of a slow motion. She's sometimes clunky, sometimes, but I can't fault her on that. I mean, it happens to everybody. I think where Naomi really falters, it's not physically. I would concur that she is one of the best athletes in the women's division that they have. I don't know about overall. She certainly is flexible and loves doing her splits, and it is impressive. But I think where she's faulting is really something that's not of her own doing, and that is the women's or the creative in WWE just never seeming to get behind her or never seemingly have a plan for her. I mean, you saw when she came back, debut at the Rumble, great, big pop. I would have loved to have asked the creative team at that point, hey, what's the plan for her between now and WrestleMania? Just generally tell me. Just give me the Cliff Notes version of what you're doing with her. I would have loved to have heard that answer. It probably would have been some political answer of, well, you know, we're working through it, and it's something that's on our plate. Our plates are pretty full right now, but you know, we'll find a slot for her that's significant at WrestleMania. Some kind of jargon like that, because that's exactly what we're seeing right now. Now, to be fair, it seems as if they are formulating a tag team match with her involved. But up until this point, it has been kind of, what are you doing? What did they do between January and now, like the last 8 weeks? It's been a big kind of flop for her, and I feel for her. But hey, if all's well that ends well, then I have nothing to say here. But I feel like I've been a bit worried about Naomi over the last several weeks and months since she debuted, redebuted, I should say, returned from her 18-month hiatus. that, you know, they're not really doing jack with her. And she barely got any time to talk. And now she's been backstage talking, trying to convince Bianca Belair. And that's been nice. It's just been kind of concerning. Like, my point is, they sometimes do stuff. It's one of the Vince McMahon hangovers. They do stuff, and then there's just seemingly no follow-up. And the momentum goes out the window. So, again, at least she's in something somewhat significant here. And she did, unfortunately, though, lose this match to Io Sky. However, she should have. Io Sky's the champion. You have Bayley the contender. You want your champion to look strong. So she did lose to Naomi, or Naomi lost to Io Sky, and there's really that I have no fault in. I'm not going to point fingers at that. Makes sense booking wise. But the finish was Damage Control made their presence felt, knocked Naomi from the top rope, and Io followed up with an over the moonsault for the win. A lot of moonsaults used as finishers. Tiffany Stratton has her finish as the moonsault too, right? I love hers actually even more. Tiffany Stratton, though, did get a jab in after the post-match attack on Bianca, who tried to help, and on Naomi, who got the miss in her eye. We had Tiffany Stratton backstage saying, it's a good look for you. And that's it. I mean, Tiffany Stratton, she got all her makeup on, all her gear on, just to walk by and say like four words. It's kind of funny. But again, it makes sense here with the booking. All right, let's move on. We got Kevin Owens and Nick Aldis talking, and he gets interrupted by Pretty Deadly, who feel they're being, you know, mistreated and mishandled. And Kevin Owens challenges them next week to a tag team match, and he said he'll find a friend or a partner, and it ended up being Randy Orton, who happened to appear at the right time. And Kevin Owens also mentioned that this was the arena he punched two people in the face at the same time, which it's kind of funny. I don't think anyone would have known that stat going into it. Maybe outside of if you attended the event in Milwaukee at the time, you probably remembered it and then attended again. But, you know, that was funny that he continued it after he left. He punched both members of Pretty Deadly right in the face. So it's funny. I mean, he continues to, I hope it becomes a thing. Every time they go to Milwaukee, Kevin Owens needs to punch two people in the face at the same time. Can that be a thing? That'd be one of the little kind of joys of life. I don't know. I could see it becoming a trend, but again, you have to know that they circle around every city about every 6 months. So in 6 months, no one's going to remember it, and we're going to have to be reminded. But that's fine. I just hope it becomes a thing. Okay. We then saw LA Knight showing up at AJ Styles' house and fighting him in front of the yard, in his front yard. And we had the police show up, dash cam footage, body cam footage. It was fun. Yeah, it didn't look hokey. It looked believable. They clearly, you know, aligned themselves with the local police department and did a nice job of not making it look horrible. It was fine. You know, LA Knight in the back of a police car, you know, and apparently AJ Styles did not press charges. And he was released, so fine. I don't have anything bad to say about this. We've seen home attacks several times, and the most infamous that we all remember, if you were watching back then, was Triple H attacking Randy Orton in his home and throwing him through the window. Throwing him through his living room window. You guys remember that? Oh, yeah, yeah. That was good stuff. I think even his wife was sitting with him at the time, too. Okay, we then get the Street Profits versus the Authors of Pain, Akam and Rezar. And this was another qualifier for the tag team title ladder match. Good match. I think that, this is one that you look at and go, okay, at least they brought in the Authors of Pain. They brought a little bit of spotlight back to the Final Testament. But without the leader speaking, without a direction, with just existing as this kind of mysterious dark team that has heavy hitters but no real direction, that's the problem with this. Is I see so much potential in the Final Testament with Paul Ellering, Obviously, Karrion Kross, who's been hot and cold and up and down and left and right and wearing masks and not wearing masks and getting fired and being brought back and, you know, growing his hair out, not growing, you know, cutting his hair. He's just been all over the place. But there's something there. They just won't let it grow. They just refuse to let it just breathe and give it sustained attention. That's the frustration with his character, is you see it. Oh, he's morphing into something different. Oh, okay, he's doing this. Looks interesting. It happens for like 2 weeks, and then he goes back into, you know, disappearing from SmackDown for a month. And it's like, well, how am I supposed to get invested if I have no idea if he's going to be there week to week, or if I don't get any direction, or if he's here, there, and everywhere, gone, back? Like, what? It's so frustrating, because I don't know. I see a lot of potential there. But the end of this was the Street Profits beating AOP, which I think is a big mistake, at 8 minutes and 37 seconds to advance. So what's the plan for this team? Bringing AOP back is a big deal. And they just seemingly have nothing for them. Now, just like with every other team that's lost, maybe there's a final chance entry, but I don't think so, the way the tournament's set up. So it's a bit disappointing here. Now, Ford getting, you know, the hot tag as he always does and performing the way he does. So you see what I did there? I mean, wrestling the way he did is always a lot of fun to watch. We keep waiting for also Montez Ford to have a breakout singles career, and that has yet to happen. But this was fine from a wrestling perspective. I just don't agree with the finish. All right. Then we got Roman Reigns coming out to the ring, stood in the ring, and he said the wise man made a promise. He kept his promise to come out alone. Cody Rhodes comes out, and he said, you know, I came out alone too. Roman called him, and he said he's a fool, he's stupid. He said he's not cut out to be champion or the face of the company because he's an idiot. A lot of kind of elementary insults here, nothing really impressive to Roman. I mean, like, seriously, a seventh grader could come up with those words. Idiot, fool, stupid. I mean, that's just, it's like sixth grade language. Sorry, Roman, it didn't hit for me. That's what you say when you've got nothing, you know, there's no zingers, right? You've got no creative, you've got no creative insult here. It's just, you resort back to middle school tactics. It wasn't good. However, Roman called out his alliance with Seth and reminded Cody he was in a bind Monday. And Roman said that Seth was nowhere to be found and recalled Seth telling Cody he would be his shield. Cody of the Seth betrayal of the shield. And Rhodes responded, reminding Roman that the first team to beat the shield had the last name of Rhodes. I don't know how true that is. And recalled his experience in factions was off doing stuff while he was off doing stuff, quote unquote. Cody said while Seth may very well hate his guts, he knows that he hates Roman even more. First of all, that can't be true. From a storyline perspective, that Seth hates Cody's guts, he said that he called him his friend. And he's willing to just take his attention and put it on Cody to help Cody instead of his own title. So the fact that he says he hates his guts, I mean, there's no logic in that right now. But moving on. He pivoted to the question whether Roman could trust The Rock at WrestleMania and asked whether the tribal chief was in charge of the family or the final boss was. And Roman responded that it was old news because Cody just said the same thing to The Rock the other way around. He said Cody twists and manipulates things like a politician and asks if the crowd needs anyone to have their babies kissed since he wanted to run for governor. He said he makes promises that he never delivers on because he's number two. And he might be the greatest number two of all time, but he's a number two nonetheless. That's not true. I mean, the number two in the company should be Seth Rollins. He's the one who holds the belt. Maybe a number two that's not a champion, sure. But I like the politician statement. You know, it's that kind of stuff that you really wonder if the wrestlers are listening to social media or podcasts like this. You really do wonder, you know, because it's sometimes almost too on the nose. Continuing, Cody then responded that when he talks about the all-time greats from Bruno to Flair to Hogan and Austin and Rock and Cena and Roman, okay, kids from the next generation will grow up wanting to be Roman Reigns. He has conceded that to a fact, but when it comes to the guy that beats Roman for his Universal Championship, which, guys, it's not Universal, it's the Undisputed WWE Championship. Can we just stop calling it Universal, please? Rock's been doing it for weeks. Cody did it this week. It's not the Universal Championship. Okay. Cody offered Roman a handshake, but he backed away and headed to the entryway. Cody, okay, this made Cody look like a and I don't mean this because I don't like his character. It doesn't help, but you can't tell me, even if you're a Cody supporter, you want to see him beat Roman at WrestleMania. What happened to "I'm not being Mr. Nice Guy anymore"? Did he not say that a few weeks ago? Did he not say he's not going to be Mr. Nice Guy anymore? And he's smiling backstage and blah, blah, blah. Like this guy also screwed you last year. One of your most painful memories. You know who and what he is, and you're still willing to shake his hand? This is, I mean, if you're a Cody fan, how are you stomaching this? Your babyface has no edge. He doesn't have a set. Does he have this innate need to be nice to everyone, even the people that are awful to him? That's not an endearing trait for pro wrestling. Now, in your life, of course, you could say, well, you need to treat people that even treat you badly. Okay, this isn't real life. This is entertainment. Okay, that doesn't make sense. You don't want to cheer on a guy that's just still playing glad handing and trying to play nice. And, oh, man, the best man win with a handshake. How are you guys enjoying that if you're supporting Cody? Seriously. I don't know. That, to me, are we really shaking hands still? After everything that he's done to you? Come on. Oh my God, it makes Cody look like a weak. He's a Mr. Weak Sauce. I mean, I'm frustrated. I'm not a big Cody supporter, but I'm not happy the way that this made Cody look like. It makes him look like a ignorant, soft, just unlikable dude. I mean, like, unrelatable too. Sorry. But we then get Solo and Jimmy appearing at his side, walking through the crowd, and we get also Seth and Jey Uso, who, I mean, so apparently no one kept their word. Like, everybody who said they're going to keep their word didn't keep their word. Okay, fine. Whatever. I don't really care too much about that, but this promo really did anything to move forward the program with Cody and Roman. I don't think it was what it needed to be necessarily. I was hoping for more. We're only a couple weeks from WrestleMania and it's all been about The Rock, and that's fun, but it really should be about the main event for night two, which is Cody versus Roman for the title. And it's just been a little bit underwhelming for these two. And they need to just continue to hammer this home. Pay Roman to come to Raw. We need to have Roman Reigns come to Monday Night Raw. Why not? Why does it always have to be a one-way street? It feels like a one-way street and it doesn't have to be. Have Roman come on to Raw and confront Cody. We need more intensity from Mr. Politician, from Mr. Bank Investor. We need more intensity. We need more of just a human element to this for him. He's always just trying to pull on the heartstrings, and he's crying, and he's my mommy and my dad. Oh, and all this stuff. Like, dude, grow a pair. You want to talk and compare yourself to all these legends? Well, you're not in the same stratosphere, dude. Fans don't gravitate towards weakness. It just made him look weak. That's all. I don't want him to look weak. Isn't that weird? I mean, I don't support his character, but I don't want him to look weak because that hurts the whole program. So, wasn't a fan. This felt like very much a promo that would lead to a bigger promo. It didn't, to me, really maximize their time together. Now there's a couple weeks left. They can do more. They can do sit-down interviews. That's what I'd recommend. Why don't, if Cody's playing so nice with Roman, why doesn't he do a sit-down interview with Michael Cole? I've advocated for this. A sit-down Stone Cold versus Rock at WrestleMania 17, Jim Ross in the locker room, backstage type of promo. No fights, no brawls, no Solo, no Jimmy, no Jay, no Seth, no Rock. Just Roman and Cody face-to-face. Interview, having questions, having Cole navigate the conversation. That's what they need. I think that could really help. And, you know, again, I don't know if they'll implement it, but they need this program needs some help because everything's being sucked into night one with The Rock. And I understand why. You're going to, you know, one of the biggest stars in the world coming back to wrestle. It's a big deal. But it's been at the cost, just like the world championship, of having the attention go to The Rock and not to really where it normally would be. So it's not a complaint, just an observation. All right. So that was SmackDown and Monday Night Raw. Just as a quick recap, as I do every week, if you're looking for a Monday Night Raw, then not Monday Night Raw. Recap, it is as follows. We got Jimmy and Jay having their back and forth, which was fun. I'm still not a big fan of this program, but it's slowly getting me interested, which is good. You know, I think even those that don't really want to see this may be slightly more interested in Jimmy Jay. So we then get, let's see here, as far as matches go, DIY versus the Creed Brothers. Excellent, excellent match here. Excellent match. I mean, absolutely love this. 18 minutes and 35 seconds with DIY beating the Creed Brothers. Another big disappointment for me. I really think the Creed Brothers deserve to be in the tag team title match. But we'll see. So, let's moving on to the next match. Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell versus Caden Carter and Katana Chance. Well, Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell win in 2 minutes. I'm going to say who cares because clearly WWE doesn't. No disrespect to the women. I'm treating them the way that WWE is. That's the tag team division anyway. All right. We then we had a whole Cody interview and responding to The Rock and all of his insults. And Heyman comes out and that's where they made their agreement to come to SmackDown alone. But we knew no one was going to abide by that. All right. Let's see. We then get Dominic Mysterio versus Ricochet, and Ricochet beats Dom in 7 minutes. We then have a lot of hype for Gunther and Zayn with the contract signing. Nice promo between the two. Still some resentment towards Zayn that Zayn got the spot and Chad Gable didn't. We'll see. I still have the belief that Chad could end up weaseling his way into this to make it a triple threat. I think it's very possible. And, you know, I just don't know what else Gable's going to do on WrestleMania outside of a pre-show Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal that I'm sorry no one cares about. But I hope that's not his spot at WrestleMania. I hope he's showcased where he should be. That's in a match. R-Truth and The Miz versus Indus Shear, Veer Mahan and Sangha. You guessed it. R-Truth and Miz won here. Awesome Truth wins in 3 minutes. We then, and again, I don't know what to say about it. Not a great match, but how could you in 3 minutes? We then get the next, we get the next segment of McIntyre and Rollins. And, nice promo there. Continuing to focus on the world championship, which is a nice thing to do right now because we need to. We get another qualifying match with The New Day versus Otis and Nakira Tozawa, with The New Day winning in 9 minutes, 9.5 minutes to qualify. We then get a Becky Lynch versus Nia Jax in the Last Woman Standing main event match that went crazy long for the women's match, 18 minutes. I mean, you could probably total up the throwaway tag team matches that the WWE likes to put out there on a weekly basis, and over the last 2 months, and it may still not be equal to the amount that Becky Lynch and Nia Jax got here. I mean, really, I mean, that may be a bit of an over-exaggeration, but not by much. But I love this effort from both women. Both women. Nia Jax continues to kill it, continues to overachieve, and taking some crazy bumps. The manhandle slam off the apron through the table. She just went for it there. She, you know, threw caution to the wind, and I credit Nia Jax and, you know, and her effort here. Becky Lynch, same. Becky always just throws her body out there. So these women continue to work out really well together, and both have really helped one another. Usually you come out of this with one benefiting more than the other. I think, oddly, Becky needed Nia, and Nia certainly needed Becky. This has been an oddly entertaining program for me. One that I didn't think I wanted or didn't know I needed. And Nia Jax, again, I continue to give her credit for just, you know, doing things that I didn't know she could do physically. Maybe she wasn't allowed to, quote unquote, because that was, you know, she's a bigger woman. She needs to work like a bigger woman. But she's done some things that, I mean, I give her credit for. It seems like she's really been working on a more flexible kind of a, I don't know what the word is, just, I don't know if safer is the word, because that brings up a whole nother conversation of the idea that she hurt so many people, which I don't think I think it's a little overblown for Nia. I think she just happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time for some of those injuries in her first go around with the company. But my point about this is this was a nice match and fun way to end Raw. You know, you don't see this kind of women's match a lot, with a kind of a hardcore style match. And it was fun. And Rhea Ripley continues to come out there and be very impressed with herself. And here's the thing, too, about Rhea. I do enjoy her as champion. She's the fun new toy, but it's almost as if she's kind of bought into her own hype. In a real sense, not in a character sense. And she's very impressed with herself all the time. Sure, she's doing a lot of weird. I mean, here's the thing, too. I saw the Rikishi stink face thing she did on Nia Jax. And really just, you know, taking her ring gear and shoving it in her ass. And then doing what Rikishi did. Why? I don't understand that. It's the thing is, it's different for a man and a woman to do that. That was Rikishi's shtick. It was gross, right? Like, when he did it, he had a much larger backside. It was disgusting. When you see Rhea do it, it kind of has the opposite effect for a lot of people, if you know what I mean. For a lot of people, men and women alike, I'm sure. So I don't understand the need for this. Again, she's very impressed with herself all the time now. I'm not off the Rhea train. I think she's an immense talent, but I'm starting to sense that she is, again, I'm repeating myself, but it's a perfect way to put it. She's buying into her own hype in a real way, not a character sense, and you can feel it. So that may be good for some of you. Some of you may be really liking this, but I can sense something more going on here than just her wrestling character. It feels like the real person is very impressed and just very egocentric. I don't know. That's the feeling I get. Okay. My feeling. Now you guys better validate my feelings. Don't forget my feelings need to be validated. Okay. Otherwise, I'm going to cancel you. You're banned from the show. So, but my point is, see how feelings are not valid. Feelings are the few things that can't be valid because of my feelings. Here's the thing. Here's another example. Everything I just said about Rhea Ripley, right? Some of you are just saying, oh my God, does he understand? Stop whining. Oh my God. Right. I've voiced my opinion and feelings on Rhea. If I tell you my feelings are valid, meaning they're true, which is what it means. Don't say they're true to me, because there's no such thing as my truth and your truth. There's only the truth. So I don't want to hear that nonsense. But then you have the opposite opinion and feelings on Rhea. Well, how can your feelings be valid and my feelings be valid simultaneously? Kind of blows up the whole logic, does it not? Anyway, I've attacked valid feelings half this show. I don't know where that came from, but it's been bothering me, I guess, the last few days. And that's, you guys are my therapy. And you're listening to me whether you like it or not. Well, I guess you don't have to. So it's not a forced listening experience. Although some of you would argue that maybe listening to me rant is a form of torture. Anyway, I'm going to stop it there because I'm going off the rails. It's getting a little late for me. So thank you guys for listening. I know, as always, I like to have the disclaimer. I don't cover every little nook and cranny of what's going on, every nook and cranny of Raw, because I have a Raw review. But tomorrow night, Anthony DeMarco will be back to join me with the weekend, or the current state of WWE. As we creep closer to WrestleMania, there's going to be a lot to talk about. And then we have our Raw review Tuesday, mailbag. I want to say Wednesday, but I've been horrible about that lately. So mailbag later in the week. That kind of covers the rest of the bases, right? And again, I encourage you to go ad-free. If you heard the ads throughout the show and they annoyed you, well, you can really solve that problem for free with a free week trial on both Patreon and Apple Podcasts. And if you like us, stick with us through WrestleMania. So that'll do it for me tonight, guys. I really appreciate it. Take care. I'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEPodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to Patreon.com/WWE Podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.